Well, Father's Day, here it is. Father's Day is happening, and all you dads that are here, or dads that are away, or dads, your dad might have went to be with the Lord, and it's a different kind of thing for you. Father's Day, I want to talk to you about Daddy Daycare. I'm just going to take a couple of minutes. I know where our time's at. I'm going to share. God laid something on my heart this week, and when I was growing up as a kid, my dad was an awesome dad, but we had zero relationship. My dad was a sergeant detective of homicide narcotics, and he probably worked 70 or 80 hours a week easily. He was undercover. I almost never saw him. He was gone so much. I mean, he'd come out to a baseball game, and that was some very special times. I remember two or three things that really stand out. But there was, in our street where I lived on our block there in California, we were like the little rascals. There were 33 kids that lived on our block. 33. And all the dads worked, but there was one dad. You know, there's always one dad in a neighborhood that becomes Daddy Daycare. His name was Jose Abeda. Jose Abeda. Joe and Hope lived across the street from us, and you can count on when you got out of school and Joe got home from work, everybody grabbed their baseball gloves, boys and girls, and we went right around the street. And we went to Stephen Manor Elementary School out to the Diamond. And we played baseball every day that you could play ball. I don't care how late it got. Joe was always there. He was Daddy Daycare. I mean, the kids just kind of clung to him. And I remember he was very important in our lives. You have neighborhoods like that? Do you know people like that that kind of just stand out, that do those things? I mean, having someone in our lives who can kind of step up. You know, it takes more than today, it takes so much more than just a dad in the home. I want to say this. Dads, and I appreciate, by the way, my dad is one of my heroes in my life. If your dad is in the house, if a dad is in the home, guys, thank you. Way to go. Because you just beat 60% of the population. You're in the minority. And I say, if dad lives in the home, way to go. That's huge. And I mean that with all my heart. I say, way to go. Praise the Lord. Good job. Some people say, well, he's home, but he's not there. Can I just say this? If he's home and he's there, and I know you may come home and grab the remote because you're tired, because you're working all day. You might need your cave time, okay? You might need your newspaper, or you'll go out to the tool shed. But dad's, way to go for being there in a society where more than 60% of dads bail. Way to go. It's not easy in our society, okay? We have a lot of families. We have a lot of families here who dads aren't in the picture right now. I understand that. And if you spend, dads, if you spend more than 6 minutes a week talking to your children, you are in the 20 percentile, more than 80% of dads do not spend more than 5 minutes a week talking to their children other than, and when I say talk to the kids, I'm not talking about clean your room or eat your food. I'm talking about how was your day. 5 minutes a week, 80% of dads. So if you do 6 minutes a week, I say to you, way to go, dad, Daddy Daycare. Sit down with your kids and try to have that conversation. And if you can't talk to them, text them, because I find that works pretty well. I have to text my kids. I find out things about my kids on Facebook more than I do at the dinner table. I'm not kidding. It's an amazing thing. I'm like, OMG, you're my BFF, LOL. I mean, come on. Some of you understand what I'm saying, too. Some of you are going, what? Did he just speak in tongues? It's a brand new world with a brand new language, and you have to relate in a brand new way. And I say, God bless our team to 35 girls who don't have dads. Pastor Benjamin is their father, and God is the father to the fatherless. And I have to tell you something. God's gotten me through a lot of days and a lot of healing. There's a lot of men out there who are having a hard time, and young ladies, because they didn't have that relationship with their father, and they struggled with that. And now they're trying to relate. You know, the church problem isn't so much that Jesus Christ is good news. The church problem is nobody knows how to relate to a heavenly father because they didn't have a good relationship with an earthly father. Daddy Daycare. Daddy, I almost named it Daddy Does Care. Because he does. And in this scripture, I thought about a couple things. And just let me share my heart. I'm going to go off page here because it'll take too long. Let me see what I think is important. What I think is important, number one, is this. The Bible says that you want to be religious. James chapter 1, I think it's verse 27 or 28 in there. It says this, religion. Oh, there it is, that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this. Look after orphans and widows. Isn't that amazing? And keep oneself from being polluted by the world. I looked at that verse and I said, there's the message. You know why we're going? People say, well, why are you going to Africa? Well, because we go here too, but God calls us to Africa. Why do we go to Africa? Well, there's 35 girls who have AIDS, most all of them, or their parents are dead of AIDS. Now, let me just explain this to you. That means these girls are going to die unless God miraculously heals them or until we come up with a cure for AIDS, okay? You got some countries that 50% of the nations have AIDS in Africa. These girls have been tossed out. Some of these girls weren't tossed out. Some of these girls were raped by men who had AIDS. So when our team goes over there, they're going to be holding on and loving these children. Okay? So just understand, why are we going over there? Here it is. Why did God pick orphans and widows? I figured this out. I know why God picked orphans and widows. Here it is, daddy daycare. Because orphans and widows have nothing to give back. See, as a pastor, I'd love to have my board members. I mean, oh, you have a 60-foot yacht that my wife and I can take out every day? Well, you're on the board. You're a multimillionaire and you'd like to build it, you'd like to buy the mall for us, you're on the board. See, that's how the world operates. God says, why don't you go minister to that orphan? What does that orphan have to give back? Absolutely nothing. Wow. Welcome to Daddy Daycare. God gave to the earth his son, Jesus Christ, because Dad cares. We're giving a team and sending a team to Africa. Why? Because we care. God opened the door and God said, go. And I'll tell you what, when God says go, have you ever argued with God? Have you ever tried to get into a debate with God when he says to do something? I'm telling you, I don't want to be on that end of the stick, okay? It hurts. And you're not going to win. In fact, if you say no to God, can I tell you something? He's just going to go find someone else who will say yes. You say no, God will say yes. He'll find someone that'll say yes. And I want to be a people. I want to be a congregation. I want to be a community that says yes to God. What does God want to do? God wants to bless Africa. God wants to bless Port Huron. God wants to bless the United States. God wants to do things. And there might be 1,000 churches and 1,000 Christians that say no. I'll be one that says yes. I want God's blessing in my life, in my family, in my church, and in my community. Amen? Are you with me? God's just looking for people to say yes. He's already made all the promises. You ever make a promise to your kids? You know, it's amazing. You can say a lot of things to your kids that they'll never remember. Clean your room. When did you tell me to do that? But you say, I promise I'll take you to a ball game, to a Tigers game. Oh, I'm telling you what, they never forget that. You make a promise and they will hold you to it, won't they? And so I just went to a Tigers game last week with my daughter because a year ago I told my 9-year-old I'd take her to a game. And so we went down and watched Verlander throw a no-hitter. Well, he would have thrown a no-hitter, except we're sitting there and in the 8th inning, everybody's cheering as he came out. And my daughter, sitting behind the opponent's dugout, great seats, said to me, Daddy, why is everybody cheering? And I said, honey, look up on the scoreboard. You see where it says R and it says 0? She goes, yeah. I said, that's runs. She goes, okay. See where it says H? She said, yes. I said, see why it says 0? She goes, yeah. I said, that means he's got a no-hitter going. And it's rare for someone to throw a no-hitter. 6 businessmen sitting in front of me got up and they turned and started pointing at me and shouting, you jinxed him. Don't you ever say that out loud. Verlander released the pitch and the guy hit the ball for a base hit in the center field. The whole group around me started pointing and screaming at us. And I said to my daughter, honey, this is what they believe is superstition. These men yelling at me right now believe that I had the power to influence the game by saying what I just said. And these men are screaming at the guy sitting next to me just laughing. He thinks it's funny. I'm about to get beat up. My daughter remembered the promise. Can I tell you something? We need to remember God's promises and hold him to it. He's good for his promises. Well, I'm glad to hear a couple of you are excited. He is good for his promises. His love endures to all generation. He is the father to the fatherless. My God can do all things impossible. I love that song. What a great choice. Brother, that was a great worship. He does the impossible. All things are possible. I just think that we just need to get that inside of us, because when we look at this, God picks the orphans and the widows. They have nothing to give back. And I say, let's minister to them and be truly religious people. I'm going to minister to people who have nothing to offer me, because that's what we're to do. We're to go to Africa. If God says go to Canada, we'll pray about it, okay? You know what's amazing? He says, I want you to minister to the widows and the orphans. And when I look at widows and orphans, I think about what people can do for me. I remember when I first started out being a pastor, I planted a church in Birmingham, Alabama, and there was a guy who lived down the street from me. We could barely afford rent in a small apartment. It was a very wealthy area called Hoover. And in Hoover, 3 miles away, was a baseball stadium, the Birmingham Barons. And that year, a young man came to play baseball for the Birmingham Barons right down the street from us and lived in our area. His name was Michael Jordan. And God laid it on my heart to witness to Michael Jordan. I had a dream one night that I was going to lead him to the Lord. So I got in my car and I drove to his house. I got to the gate and it was a gated community. There was a guard there and he says, can I help you? And he pulled a list out. I just looked at him. I thought, okay, Lord, you got to get me through this gate if I'm going to go witness to Michael Jordan, who's going to come to my church and start tithing. I'm standing here. It's true. He said, who are you here to see? I said, I'm here to see Michael Jordan. He said, are you on the list? I said, I'm Pastor Mitch Olson. He said, go ahead. I drove into that gated community. I drove up to his house. There were some kids playing outside, and he was in this house. I say house. It was the size of our apartment complex. And I drove up to his house. I said, this is going to be it. Lord, you gave me the dream. You got me through the gate. Michael Jordan is going to come to my church. I have 60 people in this brand new church. We meet in a storefront from the Galleria Mall, one of the largest malls in America. And Michael Jordan is going to come to my house, to my church. Now imagine this. If Michael Jordan is coming to my church, do you know how many people are going to start attending my church? I'm not going to put, come to our church and meet Jesus. I didn't say that out loud. Come on, you're with me. You're already thinking, if Michael Jordan goes to church, could you imagine? There'd be standing room only. You were there, and you know in the back of your mind, you're thinking it too. Because it's true. People would come for whatever reason. I don't care. I'm going to preach the gospel, but I'm going to do it and have Michael Jordan in my church. God opened the door. So I went, I knocked on his door. He wasn't home. I thought, Lord, you told me to witness to him. So I thought, I'll drive to the baseball stadium. He must be at practice. So I drove, I left, I went to the stadium. I got through the gate. And I'm sitting there and I thought, I got to get in the stadium. I went to the stadium. As I opened the gate to get in the stadium, it was unlocked. There was no guard. I went in. I'm now down in the bleacher area. I walked down to the dugout. I'm now down there. The players are out there. A guy that was rehabbing with the Chicago White Sox, a guy by the name of Steve Sachs, was down there. And he was taking some infill. I said, excuse me, can you help me? They said, sure, what's going on? I said, I'm here to see Mike. Is Mike here? No, he's out golfing. The outfielders aren't practicing today. I guess I'll have to go to the golf course. I had 3 opportunities to witness to him. God, I had another dream, and it just kept happening. I went out to a golf course one day with a friend of mine who had a free pass to go to this country club. I didn't know that the country club was closed that day because the Birmingham Barons were practicing or golfing that day. They let us in. They thought we were players on the team. They let us in. We went to golf. I'm on the tee box. I'm with the coaches. I'm with all the other players. And I'm thinking, I'm going to get to golf with Michael Jordan. I'm going to get Mike to my church. And we're out there getting ready to golf. I said, hey, where's Mike at? One of the guys says, oh, Mike's not golfing with us today. He never golfs with us. I thought, okay, Lord, I'm not getting the picture here. I'm out golfing on another day, free day for pastors. And I know, let me just end this story this way. I'm out there golfing on Mondays. This guy said, pastors can golf free. I'm out there, and this guy joins me. We get to talking, and he owns a bar. And we get to talking, and he says, yeah, after the home games, Michael Jordan comes in and shoots pool in the back room with a couple of guys. You want to meet him? Yes, I do. So I went in there one night, and the team hadn't gotten there, and I stood there for 10 minutes, felt so uncomfortable. I felt like everybody was staring. I thought, I'm in the wrong place, and I left. I didn't stay. I never witnessed to Michael Jordan. He did not come to my church, and he did not tithe his Nike contract of $70 million a year to my church. God got a hold of my heart and said, really? You need Michael Jordan? Michael Jordan, one of the greatest basketball players to ever play. I said, it would be nice. And it would be. I believe the Lord loves him with all his heart. I know he does, just like he loves me and he loves you. My attitude in it was wrong. I thought Michael Jordan had something to offer God, but God had something to offer Michael Jordan. I thought that Michael Jordan would make a difference in my church because he had hang time. And God spoke to my heart that day and said, you want hang time? I've got hang time. You want hang time? You don't need Mike to grow a church, but it would be nice to share the Lord with him as well as anybody else. God loves all of his creation. I learned that day very clearly. You want to be truly religious, you just love people, not for what they have for you, but because of what God has for them. And that's what I want to be. I want Grace Church, GMC here. I want us to be a church that loves people because of who they are, not because of what they offer me. Not because you have some kind of status or money or yacht, but you can see me after service if you do. I love the Lord, and he loves all of us unconditionally. He doesn't care about our status. So dads, daddy daycare, daddy does care. Let me close it up this way. He said, don't let the world taint you. He said, love the widows and the orphans, but don't let the world taint you. Don't get caught up in the things of the world. I think we need to be an example. Keep from being polluted. We live in a world, dads, where we need to love people. We have 35 girls who are infected by some kind of disease. How does that happen? How does one child just, how does someone have a baby? How does a woman carry a child for 9 months and somehow throw that child into a dumpster, into the streets, sell them as a prostitute? How does someone do that? I don't understand. The world is polluted, okay? The word polluted means it's sin. Obviously, there's evil in the world. People say, well, there's so much evil in the world, there's no God. Can I tell you something? Because there's evil in the world, there is a God. It's the devil tipping his hat. If there were no evil in the world, if there were no God in the world, then we would be just like animals. And I don't see animals building fortresses, carrying guns. I don't see monkeys putting security systems to guard their coconuts. I don't see these things happening in the world. If there were no God, there would be no evil. And because there's evil, there's a great God who loves us. I don't know if that makes sense to anybody here. You take God out of the equation, and now you've got evil like you've never seen. Because human beings have free will. He said, don't get polluted. I mean, we live in a world that we need to take advantage. The world takes advantage of our children. They take advantage of our children. Let me tell you how they do so. A quarter of a million die from alcohol-related causes. They take advantage of kids. 8 kids die every day from alcohol-related crashes. Today, 8 kids will die in the United States. This is just the U.S. I'm sorry. 708,000 new drug users every year in America. 3,000 new kids will start smoking cigarettes every day. 5 million kids will die from cigarette-related, and they'll die prematurely. So let me tell you how the world takes advantage of our kids. 6,000 youth are murdered each year. It's the second leading cause of death. Teens are 3.5 times more likely to be raped than other people in our country. 40% of teens will be pregnant before the age of 20. 1 in 10 girls will be raped this year, teenagers. Nearly 1 in 4 have an STD. Do you know we have such a, you know what's amazing? We need to take advantage of our children. We need to take advantage of our kids, not the world. It's amazing. For $200, you can go and get a drug. You can get a medical marijuana license in Detroit for $200. I talked to my son, and he said a lot of his friends have these. They get carpal tunnel from playing video games. They go down, they get a medical marijuana license. Prescription. It's drugs. I mean, just on and on the drug. We have a drug problem. And I say we need to take advantage of our kids. Deuteronomy 11 says this. We ought to teach our kids about Jesus. We ought to teach them when they're lying down. We ought to teach them when they rise up. We ought to teach them when we're walking by the river. We ought to teach them all the time. Oh, you can't teach about Jesus. You know what's amazing? We can teach pornography. We can't outlaw pornography. We can have a Congressman Wiener. I'm going to get on a soapbox. I told my wife, I said, I'm not going to be disrespectful ever from the pulpit. But we have a congressman who did some things recently that has made all the news. And a child can read what happened. And everyone in the media start out saying this. Well, he didn't do anything wrong. Why should he resign? It's not immoral. The word virtue means a moral act that everyone wants to be like. We have no virtue. And so if people can take advantage of our children, I say we take advantage of our children in the right sense, that we teach them about the gospel, that we could teach them about everything you can imagine, but we can't bring a Bible into the equation. We can't talk about the Ten Commandments, and certainly let's not pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to let you know, the issue that we have today as being fathers is we ought to be the Joe Abetas on the block and take all the kids to the neighborhood VBS. We ought to take all the kids on the block and let them know about Jesus. We ought to be the father to the fatherless because we have a world that's not willing to have dads step up. I mean, in Congress, just this year alone, 36 have been accused of spousal abuse, 7 have been arrested for fraud, 19 have been accused for writing bad checks, 117 have been bankrupt, at least 2 businesses this year, 3 have done time for assault, 71 have cannot get credit cards because they have bad credit, 14 have been arrested on drug-related charges, 21 currently are defendants in lawsuits, and 84 have been arrested for drunk driving in the last year. So when we're looking for examples to follow, and kids will imitate everything you do. And I always say to my kids, why don't you copy the good stuff? Why does it always have to be the bad stuff? Right? They will imitate you. They will imitate you. Virtue says this, by leading by a moral excellence, something that other people want. Are they in there? Are my straws in the bag there? I'm going to close with this. I think I put them in there. I know 2 tricks in my life. One is my sons, we do this mind reading trick, which is a lot of fun. The other one is really cheesy. I'll do this with kids. I was in Chicago at a pizzeria, and I want to tell you, kids will imitate you. Psychologists say that every day, 7 people are watching you. 7 people, you may know them or not know them. 7 people will make a decision in their life based on you. On the average, if you're average, 7 Americans are going to go, I like that hair. I like that outfit. I like the way they talk. I like the way they live. I like the way they, and they'll change something every day. I'm sitting in a Chicago pizzeria, and our kids, our Bible quiz teams, and they were at Nationals. And they said, hey, do that trick. So I'm sitting in the pizzeria in Chicago, and I take the straw, and I shove it in my ear. And I'm doing this. And they're going, do it again. And so I take it, and I start sticking up my nose. And I pull it out, and I'm doing this. And it's a trick, okay? So some of you can explain after church what I'm doing here, all right, to your neighbor. I'm doing this, and I hear this man a couple tables over screaming at his 3 little boys who are shoving straws up their nose. I looked over, and I mean, these kids are just, I mean, they're bending and shoving. And the dad says these words, I don't care what that man is doing. You never do that. People are always watching you. When I saw that, when I heard that, it really drove home the point that our children are always watching us. And I want to be a father that's a good example. And when I can't be, may the grace of God give me help in my home. Because I'll tell you, just like you, I have my struggles. And I say, oh, please just imitate. We live in a world that says, do as I say, not as I do. And I say, oh, God, please help me do and be an example. And where I fall short, let the grace of God just kind of cover that up so nobody sees it. Lord, help me be a good dad. Help our team love some girls. Help the two guys on our team of 11. Help our two guys be an example as men. Help Pastor Benjamin show these girls that men can love the right way. We really need that. So I say, take advantage. Take godly advantage. The world doesn't seem to be apologizing for the pornography, the drugs, the violence. The world's not apologizing for it. I will not apologize for Jesus Christ. I love him with all my heart, and I'll talk to anyone, whether they're listening or not. May we live our lives that way for Jesus Christ. We're going to invite the ushers.